With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Draft Take 2. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, Joey B, Joe Pizapia, and today we're taking a second crack at the NFL Draft. I know last time we tried to just go as it was. We let the Chicago Bears actually have a pick, but of course, that's a whole different set of circumstances now. That pick now belongs to the Carolina Panthers, and we're going to continue to break down all these picks, the potential for where these players are going to land, what it means for your fantasy team, more importantly, and that's why you're here. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to our Fantasy Pros YouTube channel, where we're going to have live NFL draft coverage yet again. So be there with us. It's your best second screen experience you're going to have, because we're talking about these players the way you want to hear about them on your fantasy team. And to help me in this draft today, once again, it's the Minnesota Madman, Thor Nystrom, back again, Mr. Big Pod Energy, Andrew Erickson, and my dude is back yet again another year, Travis May, everybody, who we love having on the show. He's the lead college football analyst for Mojo, and he's also the host of College to Canton. Now, Travis, I got to tell you, before we get going, I think you need a nickname here, because the other guys have one. So what's it going to be?
You can just call me Mojo. That's fine.
I like that.
Yeah, it's you know, got some Mojo.
How about Mojo Rising? How about that? We do a little Mojo Rising there.
Sure, man. That's fine.
But yeah, there you go.
It's just been fun being a part of Mojo, like the sports stock market, and you know, making that happen for the college football side, and you know, so diving into this stuff all year round. And so it's perfect for me to join you guys, talk some NFL draft stuff, because that's where I've been living nonstop.
And we're happy that you decided to get out of your house and live with us for a little while. And then we're going to send you back home, hopefully. Maybe we'll get you a little parting gift. We'll see how it goes.
Still once very again, much also, in my house right now, but that's okay.
Shout out to PFF, too. We're going to be using their software for this draft, as you can see on our YouTube channel today. So let's get after it and kick things off right here. Let's start with the number one pick, and Andrew Erickson. This is your first NFL mock draft of the season, and lucky you. You got the Carolina Panthers, number one overall pick, just recently acquired from the Chicago Bears. So what's the franchise QB that lands there for Carolina?
Going chalk here. I'm going with CJ Stroud from Ohio State. You know, him and Josh McCown have already picked out houses in Charlotte, but I do think that Stroud, 6'3", 214 pounds, I think he's the best pocket passer in the class, most NFL ready, super accurate. I think he's a perfect fit for what Frank Reich looks for in a franchise QB.
Could not agree more. CJ Stroud, absolutely, from Ohio State, looks like the most polished, ready to go. Phenomenal combine, great playoff run for him, which brings us to the second overall pick, the Houston Texans. So CJ Stroud is off the board. Thor, this is a team that's been busy this offseason trying to get to be respectable again. So I assume it's QB, but I don't want to make assumptions. Who do you have them selecting here at number two overall?
We're going with Bryce Young for the Texans. Obviously, there was a lot of ink spilled about Lovie Smith, his last game with the Texans. They won that game, which knocked the Texans to the second slot. It looks like, though, that the Texans are going to get the quarterback that they want anyway. I think Bryce Young is probably the number one player on the Texans' board, and it looks like he's going to fall into the second slot. The Panthers look like they want to get the Texans to trade up to the first slot, maybe, but I don't think that that's going to end up going that way. Looks like the Panthers are going to get the guy that they want in the first slot. And the Bryce Young is going to fall into the second slot. It's going to work out for both teams. We're going to take Bryce Young with the second pick for the Texans.
It seems like a good palate cleanser as well for the Texans organization after all the Deshaun Watson stuff to bring in a guy as likable as Bryce Young is. So Bryce Young, number two, quarterbacks flying off the board. No mistake there. Arizona at three has a quarterback, Travis May. Well, they have a quarterback theoretically at some point again this season. Let me rephrase that. But in the meantime, Travis, they have the number three overall pick. So what do you want to give the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, they're kind of locked in with Kyler for a long time, you know, at least to like 2026 or so. But I'm going to keep it kind of chalky here. We got two quarterbacks. And after that, we've got really the best edge rusher that I have ever seen coming into college when he came in at Alabama. I mean, he led the nation in pass rush pressures in 2021 at age 20. Will Anderson out of Alabama has to replace some sack production for the Cardinals because, you know, J.J. Watt's gone and he's the only player on the team that had more than 5.5 sacks last year. So, yeah, Will Anderson Jr. going to the Cardinals.
Not a bad selection there. Number three, on to number four, Andrew Erickson. That puts you back on the clock. So lots of different ways the Indianapolis Colts can go here, but what do you think is the most likely outcome?
I think they're going to quarterback because right now they have Gardner Minshew on the roster and really not much else behind him. So I think the pick's going to be Anthony Richardson here from Florida. Look, whether he's ready or not to play week one, that doesn't really matter for the Colts. I don't think they're in a scenario where they're trying to compete, you know, this season. I think they're really looking towards the future and they just can't go back to these retreads with a Phillip Rivers, a Matt Ryan, a Carson Wentz. Like, let's get an actual franchise quarterback for the first time since Andrew Luck. I think Richardson, when you combine his athleticism with that upside, I like him in Indianapolis.
Richardson blew the doors off the combine. It was just an incredible spectacle. Erickson, what would be your time frame in your mind if this pick did happen? When do you think Richardson would start? Would it be a whole wait 1 year, or do you think by the second half of 2023 we'd see him?
Look, I mean, if they take them in the top five, I mean, the fans are going to be screaming for him to play like sooner rather than later. So I would say maybe half a season. No, they go with Minshew, but if they fall out of contention all together, then they put Richardson in the second half of the year, maybe the last 4 weeks of the year, you know, similar to what we saw with Jalen Hurts when the Carson Wentz experiment kind of fizzled out in Philadelphia. Obviously, Shane Steichen's coming from that offense. So, yeah, I think probably second half of the year. So I don't think necessarily if you draft him, he's going to do a lot, you know, to start the year in Indy.
All right, let's move on to the number five pick overall. This one's for the Seattle Seahawks, acquired by Denver last year. Thor Nystrom, you're on the clock. Seattle certainly could use some help on the defensive side. Is that where they're going to go?
I think so here. Yeah. I mean, you know, we know that they already locked up Geno Smith, so that might take off the quarterback, you know, need here potentially off the board. So edge rusher remains a big need for them. We're going to take Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech here. Tyree Wilson did not test at the combine. He was knocked out at the end of the season with injury, so he did not test at the combine. But we know the kid he's a physical freak. The length is absolutely ridiculous. And during the season was putting up ridiculous amount of pressures. The kid had 50 pressures during the season, even though he missed the end of the season. Length is absolutely ridiculous. We'll see if he's able to test, but I think he's going to test absolutely freaky if he does. He's almost 6'6", 271. Again, the pressure rate that he was putting up was absolutely insane. He would fill an enormous need here for the Seahawks and be a fit for that defense. We're going to go with Tyree Wilson here.
All right, Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech, the defensive end to the Seattle Seahawks. Detroit, number six, a pick acquired from the Rams. Travis May, you're on the clock.
By the way, Thor, I really like Tyree Wilson right there. And I honestly think if the Colts are thinking more long term, they could go with him instead. But I guess he's just been such a freak and just physically just a monster. But I'm going to go with Christian Gonzalez. There are a couple options, I think, at corner you could go with. Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon, Devin Witherspoon, Illinois. I think Witherspoon has the better, you know, overall elite kind of coverage grades from all the services and charting. But in terms of overall, like, balanced athleticism and his overall profile, he's got prototypical size and he's got ridiculous athleticism at 4.38 40 speed, vert like what, 42 inches or so at the combine. So an absolute freak, really well-balanced prospect. I feel like he just is the safest play at the position. So Christian Gonzalez, Oregon, to the Lions.
And Detroit looking to really compete this year, potentially in that North. It should be really interesting there. And it says a lot about Gonzalez too, because this cornerback class is so talented. So if he's the first one off, everybody should take notice. Let's go to number 7 here. The Las Vegas Raiders are up next. Andrew Erickson, the pick is up to you.
I'm going to take the aforementioned Devin Witherspoon here at cornerback for the Raiders. Look, the Raiders were 31st in pass defense DVOA last year. They've just been an awful secondary for as long as I can remember. So they need to get a number one cornerback, legit guy who can play man coverage. So I like Witherspoon here.
Okay. Next selection here is number 8, the Atlanta Falcons. They've had a busy offseason here. Thor, what do you want to put on their squad for 2023?
We're going to stop the fall of Jalen Carter here. I don't know that Jalen Carter ends up getting down to 8, but I think if he does, I think this is going to be a quick turn the card in for the Atlanta Falcons. Whatever team takes him, you're going to have to be comfortable with the situation that Jalen Carter was in, but that's already been settled. The two misdemeanor charges that's already been settled by his attorneys, whatever. The team obviously will have to be comfortable with that situation, but it's been settled out of court. So, as far as the tape goes, Jalen Carter has the best tape in this class. Fabulous, fabulous pass rusher. He's also fabulous against the run. The tape speaks for itself. It's best in class on either side of the ball. As far as a prospect, best in class. I comp him to Warren Sapp as a prospect. It speaks for itself. The kid is absolutely dominant. You just don't see prospects like this. So if he gets down to number 8, I think it's going to be very quick. Again, I don't know if he gets here, but if he does, I think the Falcons are going to be very happy with this. And a kid that's, in the SEC, that the Falcons prioritize SEC players. So I think that this would be a natural fit. They're going to have to be comfortable with it, but if they are, I think it's going to be very quick. So we're going to go with Jalen Carter here.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing for him to stay in the state of Georgia?
Well, I think they would have at least exposure to that. So I think that they would be, they would have more exposure to that and more exposure to the people that have been around Jalen Carter. So I think, in terms of that, I think it would be good.
All right. Interesting landing spot for Carter. Certainly a potential huge value as well. That Sapp comment is one to grow on for sure. Let's go to the number 9 pick. This one belongs to the Bears from the Carolina Panthers, Travis May. The first pick for the Bears is who?
Yeah, I was really bummed, because I would have loved to have Jalen Carter keep falling to me at this spot, because it would have been the absolute no-brainer of the entire draft. I can't imagine he would actually get this far to the Bears, but I'm going to go with a player who I actually want my Tennessee Titans to draft, because they basically just crumpled their offensive line up into a ball and threw it into like a burning trash can this offseason. So I'm going to go with Paris Johnson Jr., the absolute monster out of Ohio State. Again, like last pick, it was Christian Gonzalez, probably the safest pick at his position. I think Paris Johnson Jr. is just the safest pick. Like, there's just no questions about his measurables, athleticism, his actual pass rush grades from his games, like his experience. Like, there's nothing missing in a class that is not incredibly deep at the tackle position. I'm definitely going to go with Paris Johnson Jr. and be mad that my Titans did not get him.
All right, so there you go. Paris Johnson from Ohio State, the offensive tackle to the Bears. That puts the Eagles on the clock at 10. Erickson, that means you. This pick was acquired from the New Orleans Saints. Certainly, they've lost a lot of pieces here, obviously, in the defensive side. They did bring one back in Slay, but do you think they go to the defensive side of the ball here with this first pick?
Well, I'm going with defense here. Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, defensive end. Mm-hmm. We saw the Eagles lose a lot of pieces on their defensive line. They're getting a little bit older on their defensive line. So Howie Roseman wisely reinvested in the position with this top 10 pick. LVN, 37 pressures on true pass sets, ranked 4th in the FBS in 2022. And he wasn't even like a full-time player. So the fact that he can now rotate on a defensive line that led all teams in sacks last year, it's just going to be the Eagles running it back with a ton of pressure. I think that starts Lucas Van Ness.
The Tennessee Titans up next at number 11. Travis May, we're back to you for the selection.
Well, they're left reeling because they missed out on Paris Johnson Jr. And I'm going to pick another super sexy offensive lineman. I know we fantasy football players love those guys. Broderick Jones out of Georgia. Back-to-back national championships at Georgia, just being the stud there, an absolute monster. And the new GM at the Titans, he loves – he's like an old-school mind a little bit. So he loves just the monsters like Broderick Jones. So going to go with him because we need somebody to block for Caleb Williams next year when he goes to the Titans.
Oh man, look at him just throwing that out there like it wasn't a big deal. I see you, Travis May. I see you. All right, let's go to number 12 here, the Houston Texans, and a pick acquired from the Cleveland Browns. So the Texans are back on the clock. That means Thor, the pick is yours.
Yeah, we took Bryce Young for the Texans earlier on. We need a weapon for Bryce Young. We're gonna open the can on the wide receiver class here, and we're going to take Quentin Johnson. Now, this pick assumes that Quentin Johnson runs a good 40, at least in his pro day on, I believe TCU's pro day is on March 30th. I think Quentin Johnson is going to dust the 40 at that pro day performance, which is not me going out on a limb. Quentin Johnson was a track freak in high school, was also a basketball star in high school as well. At the combine, the thing he did do was the jumps. He jumped 40 and a half in the vertical, 97th percentile, and he jumped over 11 inches in the broad jump. That was 99th percentile. Quentin Johnson is a physical freak. I comp him to AJ Green. I think he has a really good shot of being that wide receiver one still, and I think he would be a really good fit here. The Texans, who just traded Brandon Cooks, they have a very clear need for that top type wide receiver one guy. And I think that this is a really good slot to be potentially that first wide receiver to go off the board. Really good fit here. And of course, the guy staying in the state here, Quentin Johnson staying in the state of Texas. So we're going to go with Quentin Johnson here for the Texans.
Excellent. So there you go. These guys get to grow together in Houston. The number 13, the New York Jets. They just made an interesting trade the other day. They're trading Eli Mitchell away. So, yeah, so there you go. Eli Moore, excuse me, not Eli Mitchell.
Yeah. Mitchell, I think they're going to Freudian slip. Yeah,
I know. It's exactly. My brain is fried between MLB and NFL right now. So there's a lot of names in there. But yes, Elijah Moore, pardon me, getting dealt. Let's go to the next spot here, which is Travis May. That means you're back on the clock. And Travis, you have a thing for drafting offensive linemen, I feel like.
I do, but this time I'm going to throw us off here, and I'm going to go outside. Well, I guess edge rusher. Nolan Smith got out of Georgia.
He was
the number one recruit in his entire class back in 2019 because of the freak athleticism that we always knew he had. I don't know why we were blown away that he just smashed the combine. It was a little surprising that he ran like a 4.39 as an edge rusher. We knew he was this much of a freak since, I don't know, junior year of high school for the nerds like me that follow it. So not super productive in college in terms of like sacks, but I don't really care because he's an absolute monster. He'll figure it out. And the Jets love just taking the best player off the board.
Okay, so the Jets continue to grow that defense. We'll see who their quarterback is sometime, I assume. I don't know. We don't know when that's going to happen. So let's go to number 14 here. Andrew Erickson, New England Patriots are now on the clock. Your New England Patriots, my New England Patriots. What do you have for us?
Skronsky. Peter Skronsky, Northwestern, offensive tackle. Sounds like a Bill Belichick type of player, but
it does.
In all seriousness, we need a tackle here, a future franchise tackle. They brought in Riley Reiff. I don't know how old he is. He's up there in age, though. And Trent Brown is entering a contract year. They did bring in Calvin Anderson from the Broncos. But look, they're not going to re-sign Isaiah Wynn. They really need a staple future franchise tackle who can also kick inside potentially. So this is a Patriots pick when they draft an offensive lineman. And the way that the contracts are structured now, like looking at that Laremy Tunsil deal, basically you need to get the best value on a tackle. You got to draft him in the first round. And then you get the fifth year option. And that's really how you can best address it from a cost perspective is drafting these tackles in round one.
I like to put the hat on for the pick. That means a lot to me. I like to do that. And to answer your question, Riley Reiff is 34 years old. I just looked it up there. Obviously, you should be watching this. If you're just listening to this pod, you should be watching it on our YouTube channel. Make sure if you haven't, you go and subscribe over there to Fantasy Pros. Again, that's youtube.com/Fantasy Pros. Just an enormous channel. We've got so much going on there. We've got short form videos. We've got the live stream coming up in a couple of weeks for the NFL draft. And of course, we're giving away free stuff too. We're giving away a 1-year Fantasy Pros premium subscription. So if you subscribe, you click that little bell till it goes ding for notifications and you drop a comment below in the chat, you could be eligible to win a 1-year Fantasy Pros subscription upgrade to the big boy level where you get all of the fun stuff there. Again, the latest podcasts, live streams, the short videos are all on there. And we're going to announce the winner right now of the last one we just did, which is Marcel Griffin. Fantastic name, Marcel. So please get in touch with us, Marcel. Congratulations. You won the premium subscription upgrade. So get in touch with us over at mailbag@fantasypros.com. Again, that's mailbag@fantasypros.com with proof of your subscription to Fantasy Bros YouTube channel. And of course, fantasypros.com, your username. We need that as well. So Marcel Griffin, congratulations. You want to be like Marcel? Go subscribe and drop a comment below in the chat. And that's how you do it. Let's get back to the mock here and let's talk about the next pick here. The Green Bay Packers at 15. Thor, I know it's tough for you to draft for the Packers, but I want you to do your best.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. So we just broke the seal on the wide receiver class. For the Packers, we're gonna break the seal on the tight end class. They just lost Robert Tonyan to the hated Bears. We're gonna take Michael Mayer for them. Right now, their projected starting tight end is the Joseph DeGuara kid from Cincinnati. They need to do something there. They could try to defer this to the second round, but we know that those kids are going to start to get popped right around here and through into the start of the second round. You don't know what's going to be around in 30, 35 picks. You just don't. Like, I mean, there could be four or five tight ends that get taken in between then. So, you are taking a real chance if you're going to wait till then. If you lead this dance, you get your choice of them, whether it's Michael Mayer or whether it's Kincaid from Utah. Michael Mayer would be a really good fit here. And he tested pretty well. I mean, the 4.7 that he ran in the 40, was the exact same that Hawkinson ran. And Michael Mayer turned in an 81st percentile RAS adjusted athletic composite score. And then a dual threat tight end, a guy that played half his time in the slot, half his time in line, and had an elite score or elite grade from PFF, both in terms of his receiving grade, both in terms of his run blocking, both in line and both in space in the slot. Michael Mayer is a very good player, contested catch guy. And then also, you know, when he catches the ball, breaking tackles, going down the field, whatnot, he would be a very good fit, presumably for Jordan Love as the safety blanket guy. So we're going to give him Jordan Love a weapon and send Michael Mayer to Green Bay.
Yeah, well, you know, Michael Mayer there, you got Christian Watson. Maybe it won't be as bad as some Packer fans might think. It's a good tight end class, too. Goodness knows we could use some better tight ends in fantasy. Thor, you're back up again for the Washington Commanders at 16. Where do they go?
Well, Will Levis has been dropping down the board, the Kentucky quarterback. We are going to stop his fall right here. Washington, they have put they're sort of planting their flag right now on Sam Howell, the quarterback they got in whatever the fifth round last year. And they had signed, was it Jacoby Brissett in free agency? And it's like, oh, we're going to have these two guys compete. Rather uninspiring quarterback room, arguably the least inspiring quarterback room in the NFL right now. I don't think they're expecting one of these quarterbacks to fall down. I don't think any of the NFL is expecting one of these quarterbacks to fall down, but I think it's more of a plausible scenario than most of the public believes right now. And in fact, some of the most respected media, most plugged in media members in the draft community right now that we have, they're starting to indicate this more now, more recently. Daniel Jeremiah in his most recent mock, I think had Levis falling to the Bucks, I believe at 19. And Dane Brugler on Twitter recently had indicated that it was a plausible scenario that Levis could fall into the range of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. So there is that shot. There are questions about Levis's evaluation that I've been bringing up since, I mean, during the regular season that could bring this into play. There are teams that like Levis, but there's also these questions about his evaluation that could lead to this. So, but like with a team like Washington, you have to consider this if he just falls into your lap like this of, we could fix these things. And the things that we're talking about, it's the lack of pocket presence. It's the lack of recognizing the free rushers that are coming from his blind side and stuff like that. He has that golden arm though. So, if you can fix that stuff, fix the mechanics, you might be working with something. You pair him with the other guys. Maybe you get something. But we're going to take Will Levis for Washington here at 16.
Mm-hmm. Sam Howell, a short-lived starter potentially there if this does happen. Travis May, you were banging your head pretty hard there, nodding in agreement. We'll get to your take in a second. Oh, let's get to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 17. Erickson, you're up on the clock.
Joey Porter Jr., cornerback. I think it fits like a glove. You know, Joey Porter, the Steelers. I think it works out really well. You know, obviously his dad played for the Pittsburgh Steelers as a linebacker. Joey Porter.
Yes, I'm old enough to recall that. I saw that
pass breakup machine last year. Second highest forced incompletion rate. The secondary for the Steelers got decimated at times last year. So I think Joey Porter Jr. is a great pick here.
All right, Travis May, you're up next with the Detroit Lions at 18 here. Another pick for the Lions. What do you have them getting? And, you know, I feel bad because you haven't had to get a lot of fantasy kind of picks here.
No, so I'm going to have a take then. I'm just going to have a take because I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go, the value keeps dropping. So I'm going to take another player that's not going to be on your fantasy team. But just for a sec, Thor, thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh. this is my favorite thing about the mock so far is that Will Levis actually didn't go, hey, you know, it's a quarterback, and so he has to go top seven or whatever. Let's freak out and just, you know, automatically make that a thing every single time. And the only thing that would have made it even better was if the same thing happened to Richardson, because like there are zero historical comps that have succeeded with a profile as poor as Richardson's. Zero, not one in NFL history ever. So as a passer, so he's a freak athlete, but man, like, it's absolutely wild that we've arrived at this point with both of these guys.
Well, I mean, Travis, do you think at a certain point, you know, we'll get back to the picks a sec, but because of the evolution of the game at this point,
yeah,
has the game evolved to a point where maybe somebody like that can excel with the profile he has?
Yeah, and all the comps that people throw around, like Hurts and Lamar Jackson or whatever, you could cut Lamar Jackson's passing efficiency profile in half, and it would be superior to Anthony Richardson. Like, wow. It's trash. And so it's really bad. And so, like, yes, he could absolutely succeed because he's probably the best athlete to ever play the game. But it's just the NFL has gotten better about, like, not overdrafting traits. But, man, they're about to disappoint us yet again this year, it seems. So good luck with that.
back to the Lions. On that note.
Brian Bazee. And I'm my recruiting pedigree snobbish is snobbishness. That's a thing.
Yes, it's a thing. It's a thing. I have plenty of it. Yeah.
Because like I've taken all these high pedigree guys, and Brian Bazee was a monster coming out of high school into Clemson, and he developed, but he was not always even on the field. Had a really sad story happen this year with his sister passing away. He missed a lot of time, and we just never got to see, I think, the full potential of Brian Bazee. And I think the league understands that he's just an absolute hoss. And once you get beyond him at the defensive tackle position here, it kind of drops off quickly. And so I think a team will take a shot at the traits with Brian Bazee out of Clemson.
That puts the Tampa Bay Buccaneers up at 19. Andrew Erickson, the pick is what?
Going with an offensive tackle here, Darnell Wright from Tennessee. The Buccaneers cut Donovan Smith. Their offensive line was filled with issues all of last year with injuries. So I think that if they're not going to go with a quarterback with the top guys off the board here, I think that addressing the offensive line for whoever ends up taking snaps, whether it's the guys that they have this year, Caleb Williams next year, at least they'll have a franchise tackle. And I think Darnell Wright, 4-year starter, I think he fits the mold.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. We talk a lot on the show about what makes winners. And there's one thing that all teams, coaches, and players have in common: preparation. Planning is key in everyday life too, and a great way to be prepared for the unexpected is to join Air Medcare Network, America's largest air ambulance membership network. Air Medcare Network providers operate state-of-the-art helicopters that can respond to critically ill or injured patients who need emergency medical transport. These flights can be very expensive, but as an Air Medcare Network member, you won't see a bill for your flight when flown by one of their providers. That's right, you'd pay nothing. You can become a member of Air Medcare Network for just $99 per year. And right now, our listeners get up to an $80 MasterCard or Amazon e-gift card when they join and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. That's FANTASYPROS, one word, no spaces, FANTASYPROS. So make financial peace of mind part of your game plan. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS today. And now, back to the action. All right, Thor, you're back on the clock for the Seattle Seahawks at number 20, and you've been throwing out fun fantasy picks. So you got another one for us?
Yeah, well, you know, the first one with the Seahawks, we addressed the edge with yes, Tyree Wilson. But this time, I mean, you have the two outside receivers you like with the Seahawks. They tried to get the slot guy with Eskridge a couple years ago. I don't know if that thing's going to work out. Let's get them a stud slot that we know is going to translate in the NFL in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That guy's game is absolutely going to work out. And we've already seen when he has the two stud outside receivers with him that the defenses have to respect, and the way that manifests in terms of giving Jaxon Smith-Njigba the intermediate space to work with. Because Jaxon Smith-Njigba, his agility is insane. The route running is insane. If you give him that intermediate space to work with, he is going to feast on it. it just is what it is, right? Like, I mean, it just speaks for itself. And he's going to dominate with that and be an efficiency monster with that. He's going to feast on it. So this would be a very, very good fit. And if he is available here, I think this is very much in play. So we're going to take this pick, and we're going to send Jaxon Smith-Njigba to Seattle.
There you go. Another weapon there for the Seattle Seahawks. Miami Dolphins are going to forfeit their pick, which means 21 goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. Erickson, aging wide receiver core. Wide receivers are starting to fly off the board a little bit. Is this where they're going to go?
Yes, this is where they are going to go here. And I do want to also say that I think that I love the pick that Thor made for the Seattle Seahawks. And Geno Smith right now is a screaming value in best ball draft. QB 18.
Yeah.
QB 18 his year last year.
That's crazy.
Look at how efficient he was in 11 personnel. He's a top 10 passer. And if they add in a receiver like Smith-Njigba with Lockett and Metcalf, DK Metcalf's going to be, Geno Smith's going to be a fantasy QB one again. And right now the market is sleeping on his potential. So love the call there by Thor. But for me, the Chargers, I'm getting into the fantasy action here. Finally, Jordan Addison, USC wide receiver. Look, I think that they could use a big play threat. Someone that can deliver some speed on the outside. They have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. But we really haven't seen those. We didn't see those guys play on the field really at all together.
Do they really have them? I think that's a question we could ask ourselves at this point.
I think that the Chargers now with Kellen Moore calling the shots, I think that is a team that we all expected to take a massive step last year. Think of this is the post-hype sleeper Chargers. I know that the Jacksonville Jaguars have kind of taken over as that hype team. I'm going back to the Chargers for another year.
Okay. So Erickson, let's stick with you for the 22nd pick, which is Baltimore. You're up again.
Going with Mazzie Smith, Michigan defensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Ravens did a little bit. They got older on their defensive line. Jason Pierre-Paul is gone. Calais Campbell was released. And you look at their current defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, was Mazzie Smith's former coach at Michigan. And they haven't been strangers to drafting a lot of players from that Michigan defense. So I think to kind of plug up the interior, Mazzie Smith, 323 pounds, mammoth of a man. I think that he plugs in the interior very well, and he obviously he's familiar with the coaching staff already for Baltimore.
All right, Thor, that puts you on the clock at number 23 for the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know how this happened, but let's hear it.
Well, you know, I had to give myself my Minnesota Vikings.
Well, yeah, I figured this is what happens when I'm not around for these things. This is, you know, Thor gets the pick for the Vikings. Erickson picks for the Patriots. I don't know how this happened.
Exactly. And we're going to give the Vikings a flowers. This is one of my favorite fits of the first round. This one's tailor made here. The Vikings need an outside receiver to put opposite Justin Jefferson. Zay Flowers is a perfect fit here. Zay Flowers fits on the outside. I don't think people realize it because they look at his size and they're like, oh, he has to be a slot. He doesn't need to be a slot. We saw him succeed on the outside at Boston College. They played him on the outside and he was awesome on the outside. And not only that, he wins downfield. I mean, it's just proven. His ball tracking skills downfield are awesome, and he wins in contested situations downfield. Just look at the tape. Look at his contested catch rate downfield. In his stat profile, it just is what it is. It's just there. So, I mean, like, you know, and then his athleticism has been proven, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just is what it is. The Vikings need an outside receiver that can disincentivize defenses from bracketing and doubling Justin Jefferson. If they can't find that, defenses are going to do the same thing to Justin Jefferson that they did last season. So, I mean, if the Vikings can find that, they can disincentivize defenses from doing that. Zay Flowers is the guy that can do that. So we're going to give Zay Flowers to the Vikings.
All right. Great pick there. That helps Justin Jefferson maintain his value too. At 24, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis May, you're up next.
You guys just keep on like taking all these fun players like right before I get to pick again. So I just give that a break for a sec because I've got some players coming up. Some teams coming up. I need to actually select some fantasy players at some point. But yeah, Zay Flowers reminds me of Antonio Brown, like the, you know, before
I can't even imagine that comp with Jefferson at the same time. Kirk Cousins should just like, you know,
yeah,
just give up every money he has ever made. Just stay there for the rest of his career.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, Zay, his efficiency stats weren't great or whatever, but his quarterback play was pretty gross. I mean, literally his quarterback's name was Dennis Gross L. So exactly. Yeah, pretty gross L. Anyway, horrible jokes. I'm a dad now. I can do that.
Well, that's what happens. Yeah. You're a dad. You just make them on him. Erickson's not even a dad. And he makes it.
So. Yeah, I make them all the time. Not even a dad.
Just practicing. But Deontay Banks is the pick here. Been rising up the boards in draft season and absolutely killed it at the combine out of Maryland. the Jacksonville Jaguars need a slot option or versatile corner. And so it's just an easy pick because 95th percentile athleticism and really balanced skill set. So lock it in. I make another non-fantasy pick. There we go.
Okay, I've got faith in you in the second half. In the second half, things are going to turn around for you.
I'm just going to start reaching.
Also, remind me never to cross Travis, because when he just laid out Anthony Richardson there, let me tell you, that was I'm still reeling from that. I got to recover. Let's get to the next pick here, number 25, the New York Giants, Andrew Erickson. Its pick is yours.
Going with Brian Branch, safety from Alabama. Look, the Giants lost Julian Love. He led the Giants in snaps and tackles on defense last season. I think that Branch is versatility. He can play the nickel in the slot. He gives in a lot of different options, and he's a sure tackler. So I think he fits right in with that defense and what they need.
All right. Next pick here is number 26, the Dallas Cowboys. Thor, what do you have up your sleeve for this one?
Yeah, Bijan Robinson has fallen down the board a little bit. Obviously, the Texas Longhorns, it seems like the Dallas Cowboys have been sniffing around him. They have now moved on from Ezekiel Elliott. The only guy they brought in to address that is Ronald Jones. I don't think there is any illusion that he is a one-for-one replacement for that. We want to keep Tony Pollard in the same role that he was in. We want Tony Pollard doing Tony Pollard things. We still need the same bell cow dude so that we can allow Tony Pollard to do Tony Pollard things. Bijan Robinson, if we can have Bijan Robinson doing Bijan Robinson things, we can keep Tony Pollard in the Tony Pollard role. This is perfect. We move Bijan from Austin to Dallas, put that star on his helmet. We are rolling. We are cooking in Dallas. Let's send Bijan to the Cowboys.
Erickson, if that happened, if he was a Cowboy, I would say his average ADP by August 31st would be 104. What do you think?
I'll be there right there.
I'm probably there. Maybe I'm there at 103, knowing me.
Would he be dynasty running back one? Period.
He is for me already.
He has been for me for a while. Yeah.
I was gonna say, but I mean, this just kind of solidifies that
exactly,
and just in every way. So, Thor, from your mouth to Jerry Jones' ears and his enormous ears. All right, let's go to number 27 here, the Buffalo Bills, Travis May. Could this be the fun pick?
No, it was going to be Bijan. So thanks. I'll go with just a mauler and Osiris Torrance out of Florida, interior lineman who would dominate. The Bills need that as well. And he just would add some nasty to that run game for them. And, you know, he got used to blocking for a super mobile quarterback and Anthony Richardson at Florida. So I think it's a great fit. This is the ideal pick for the Bills. If it's not Bijan Robinson.
No, I could tell there's no pain in your voice. Yeah,
pain at all.
No, not upset. Number 28, the Cincinnati Bengals. Back to you, Thor.
Yeah, the Bengals need a tight end. Joe Burrow is going to be advocating for one. We're going to take Dalton Kincaid here. Dalton Kincaid is not the blocker that Michael Mayer is. He's the better receiver, though. Dalton Kincaid went ballistic this year when Brant Keithy, the other tight end that Utah had that they were pounding targets with, when Brant Keithy went down, then they started pounding like all the targets. They just isolated onto to Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid then went absolutely ballistic. Teams just could not cover him whatsoever. We're going to go with Dalton Kincaid here, and I think he'd be a really good fit on that Bengals offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see that. That would make me very happy. All right, let's get to the next selection here. Number 29, the Orleans Saints, and a pick they acquired from San Francisco. Back to you, Travis.
Yeah, I really want to take a wide receiver here, but I do think it's just a slight reach, and I've got the Saints later. They've got other options to maybe take a wide receiver in the second round, so I'm going to go with the absolute best toolsy kind of play again and go Miles Murphy, Clemson. Sticking with Clemson, that's my second Clemson player. But yeah, edge defender, Miles Murphy, wears really cool glasses, and he was a top 10. Hey, hard hitting analysis right here. Top 10 recruit in his class as well. Just tools out the wazoo. So I really like Miles Murphy out of Clemson.
Out the wazoo is an underrated expression.
I mean, it should be.
I'm glad you dropped that on the show today. Number 30, the Philadelphia Eagles back again. Andrew Erickson, that means you.
I don't know what kind of glasses he wears or what he's out of the wazoo, but Kalijah Kancey for me, Pittsburgh defensive tackle, stays in the state of Pennsylvania with the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, the Eagles are just revamping, double dipping on the defensive line here. Just more pass rushers, more just want to wreak as much havoc as humanly possible. Posted the nation's highest pass grade among interior defenders. So, yeah, the Eagles are going to be running it back with even more defensive power next year, and they're going to try to get back to the Super Bowl.
All right, Travis May, close us out. Pick number 31, the end of the first round. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. One fun pick?
It gets to be fun now, guys. Remember Remember back in 2020 when the Chiefs were on the clock at the end of round one and they saw Jonathan Taylor just staring at them, sitting there on the board still. And they're like, you know what we really need instead? We need a really tiny, slow, worse running back instead. And they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And the player that they were trying to draft that year was actually Jahmyr Gibbs. They just didn't know it already. And so Jahmyr Gibbs is the pick right here out of Alabama. Ran a 4.38 at the combine. It was at 200 pounds. He's been a Jamal Charles comp for a long time. But then he shows up weighing the exact same and runs the exact same 40 at the NFL combine. It's like, okay, so, okay, second coming of Jamal Charles, just like we needed it to happen. And he's on the Chiefs, which is perfect for us fantasy nerds. So let's just make it happen. That's fun. Finally made my fun.
It's really fun too, because they could really use some help there. And interesting the tandem there with Pacheco. Now, Travis, in your opinion, in a fantasy world where this happens, which I'm all for, by the way, I love this. And I think him and Pacheco can exist together and still be both productive. Where would he go in redraft? You think Jahmyr Gibbs, is he a third round pick then because Pacheco's presence?
I think immediately at least there, because I don't think that, I mean, he's Pacheco, fun story. Cool. Good on him. He stuck at Rutgers after Art Sitkowski threw 4 touchdowns to 18 interceptions.
Art Sitkowski from my high school, by the way, my good that friend season. Actually coached him. He was the coach of the high school before he left and went down to prep school in Florida and then got replaced down there in Florida. But
I haven't heard stat lines ever, like 4 touchdowns to 18 interceptions. That was Pacheco's freshman year. And for some reason, Pacheco was like, yeah, let's run it back. And he stuck it out. So anyway, but Pacheco's, he's an undrafted free agent. You know, you served your purpose. But you know, we all saw James Robinson happen. So it's going to happen again.
Look, man, Jahmyr Gibbs is stunning talent. Let's recap the first round here. Carolina Panthers select CJ Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State, then the Houston Texans, Bryce Young from Alabama, Arizona at 3, Will Anderson, the outside linebacker from Alabama. Then you have the Indianapolis Colts at 4, selecting Anthony Richardson from Florida, the QB, Tyree Wilson, defensive end from Texas Tech, to the Seattle Seahawks at 5. At 6, the Detroit Lions select cornerback Christian Gonzalez, another cornerback, Devin Witherspoon from Illinois, goes to the Las Vegas Raiders, followed by Atlanta at 8, taking Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, who slipped quite a bit there. Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State, the offensive tackle, to the Bears at 9, to the Eagles at 10, Lucas Van Ness, Iowa's defensive end, and Broderick Jones, the Georgia offensive tackle, to the Titans at 11, the Houston Texans at 12, Quentin Johnson, the TCU wide receiver, Nolan Smith, outside linebacker from Georgia, who also put on a show at the Combine, 13 to the Jets. My goodness, what a star he could be in New York. At 14, the New England Patriots take Peter Skowronski, Northwestern offensive tackle, Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame, over to Green Bay. At 15, at 16, the Washington Commanders get funky with Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. I love that. Boy, media would just go crazy if this happened. I can't even imagine what the DC media would happen there. Joey Porter Jr., Penn State corner, goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then at 18, to Detroit, Brian Bresee, Clemson defensive tackle, Darnell White, Tennessee offensive tackle. Next to Tampa at 19. At 20, the Seattle Seahawks select Jackson Smith and Jigba, Ohio State wide receiver, for their slot spot. At 21, the Chargers, Jordan Addison, USC wide receiver, Mazi Smith, Michigan defensive tackle, to Baltimore. Then Minnesota select Zay Flowers, at Boston College wide receiver, Deontay Banks, corner from Maryland, goes to the Jags at 24. At 25, the Giants select Brian Branch, Alabama safety, Bijan Robinson, hold on to your seats, folks, Dallas Cowboys at 26. At 27, the Buffalo Bills take my favorite name in the draft, Osiris Torrance, Florida offensive guard, then Dalton Kincaid, Utah tight end, goes to Cincinnati to fill that void. And New Orleans, 29th pick, Miles Murphy from Clemson defensive end, then Kalijah Kansi, Pittsburgh defensive tackle at 30. Following that, wrapping up the first round, Kansas City Chiefs, Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, selected by Travis May. On to the second round. We'll pick the pace up here a little bit. Let's start with number 32, Andrew Erickson. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock with a pick they acquired from the Bears.
Anton Harrison, Oklahoma offensive tackle. They went with a cornerback in round one, and they're notorious for not drafting tackles in round one. But hey, we're in round two, so Harrison is off the board here. Improve that offensive line from the tackle spot. 3-year starter at Oklahoma. Did not allow a single quarterback hit last season.
All right, number 33, the Houston Texans. Thor, you have the pick.
Yeah, let's have some fun here. We're gonna take Keon White of Georgia Tech. We know that the new administration there in Houston, or the new coaching staff they brought in, they want versatility, they want multiplicity, and that they're gonna shoot the moon on upside. Keon White was a guy that began his career as a three-star tight end at Old Dominion, eventually transferred to Georgia Tech. He was converted to an edge defender. The kid just tested as a 99th percentile athlete. He played only 1,200 defensive snaps of FBS football on the defensive side of the football, including only 660 on the defensive side. Just a freak of an athlete. And I think, you know, he has the versatility to play inside and outside. On film, you saw this kid running down running backs and wide receivers downfield. I think this is a guy that D'Amico Ryans could really love, a moldable ball of clay. We're going to send Keon White to Houston.
All right, number 34, Arizona Cardinals up next, Travis May.
Yeah, let's go with Keely Ringo out of Georgia. Absolute monster of an athlete, built like a safety, like a pretty sick, like thick safety, like a, you know, like a Cam Chancellor kind of safety, but he's playing corner, you know? And so he's a little stiff, whatever, but he's got 4.36 wheels and he loves making just fast, instinctive plays. You know, if you just want to go for reference, you might want to watch the 2021 National Championship game. So Keely Ringo is the easy pick for the Cardinals right here.
All right. Erickson up next at 35. The Indianapolis Colts are on the clock. The
Colts traded away Stephon Gilmore, and currently their projected starters at cornerback are Dallas Flowers and Isaiah Rogers. Don't know either of those guys. So they need a cornerback here. I'm going with Emmanuel Forbes, Mississippi State. Battle tested from the SEC, just allowed under a sub 45 passer rating when targeted last year, was top 20 in the nation.
Number 36, the Los Angeles Rams. Thor, you're on the clock.
Yeah, the Rams badly need offensive line help. We're going to give them Cody Mock, a guy that some scouts believe could play all five offensive line positions. So you bring the kid in, you just figure it out from there. Cody Mock, he tested in 93rd percentile RAS adjusted, size adjusted athleticism score. Bring Cody Mock in, just figure it out from there. Fabulous athlete, fabulous kid. We've already found that during the pre-draft process. Let's send Cody Mock to Los Angeles.
Sticking with Thor for the 37th pick, back to the Seattle Seahawks. I'll pick another pick acquired from Denver.
Yeah, man. Seattle has had so many picks already. We're going to do another offensive line here. John Michael Schmidt, staying locally here. Cody Mock, you know, only 2 hours away from Minneapolis. We're going to stay in Minneapolis for this pick with John Michael Schmidt, a center, probably the best. I believe him to be the best center in this class. John Michael Schmidt is a very, very good athlete and a super duper reliable interior pivot. Super smart player. Also a guy that can get out to the second level and just wipe out linebackers. He's also going to make your line calls for you where you're never going to have the mistake of, oh, that guy's coming, that guy's coming. Adjust the line calls for you, everything like that. Seattle absolutely needs a center. They signed a guy in free agency, I think from the Lions or whatever, but to a super cheap contract or whatever. I don't think he's the answer, but that guy can play guard. John Michael Schmitz, he also was very open with the media about this and was emphatic about this of, I'm not a center. Do not list me as a center. I can also play guard. List me as an interior offensive lineman. So that, you know, that would appeal to Seattle as well, the versatility. Let's send John Michael Schmitz to Seattle.
Well, who are we sending to Las Vegas at 38, Erickson?
Darnell Washington, the pterodactyl, Georgia tight end. Yeah. Look, I know they brought in Austin Hooper, OJ Howard. I mean, this rounds out the three-headed monster there in Las Vegas. So he's crazy with the ball in his hands. And we know Jimmy Garoppolo. What does he love more than anything else? Yards after the catch.
Yeah, look, I love that selection, by the way, for Garoppolo, because the other two guys, I'm not feeling it. 39, Carolina. Let's stick with you again, Erickson. Who do you have?
Going with Isaiah Foskey from Notre Dame, defensive end for the Carolina Panthers. We went with Stroud in round one, but Foskey, Notre Dame, 23 sacks over the last two seasons. I think when you look at his profile, he reminds me a lot of Bradley Chubb. New defensive coordinator, Ajayi Evero, obviously came from Denver, so he can be Bradley Chubb, the new version of Bradley Chubb for the Panthers.
Love that pick. He fell quite a bit. That's a great value pick. Let's go to the Travis May rock block, everybody. We get at number 40 here. Let's start. It's going to be a whole lot of Travis May coming at you for the next.
I've got a lot of picks in a row. Okay. Thank you.
So let's go. New Orleans Saints at 40. Travis May, go.
Real quick, did you call Darnell Washington a pterodactyl because he's got tiny legs and a crazy arm span?
I was referring to the arm span.
Because I was thinking about that. Like, oh my gosh, he's right. He looks like a pterodactyl. he's just got a huge body and his legs are just a little bit too small for his, like, you know, LeBron James kind of frame. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, New there Orleans, 40.
Yeah, might want to edit that part out. Anyway, Josh
no
Downs.
No way, staying in forever.
Josh Downs is the pick here for the Saints, and this is why I did not go with a wide receiver earlier. I feel like it would be a slight reach in the first round, but Josh Downs being the perfect slot wide receiver They already have Chris Olave. They already have a 57-year-old Michael Thomas. Might as well get Josh Downs as well and set yourself up for success because they clearly don't have a quarterback yet. So they might need some pass catchers. After this, I've got the Titans. The Titans have for forever, it seems, just avoided speed like the plague at the wide receiver position. And it's just brutal. And so I'm really getting tired of it. And I'm sure the Titans are as well. So they're going to go with two-way go specialist Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee. I know that Thor would disagree, but I think what what Jalin Hyatt offers is just game-changing speed that can really just create a bunch of other space for all the other pieces you already have, including maybe, you know, adding one defender that's already in the box and shifting them outside a little bit just to add a little bit more space. So I'm going to go with Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee for my Titans. Then the Jets, I'm going to go with probably the best player on my board here, which is Adebowale. I think I'm saying that correctly, out of Northwestern. It's just, I really struggle.
Out of Tabiwa, Adebowale.
Yeah, Adebowale, yeah. But anyway, out of Northwestern. And I think Thor, he's the best player.
That when we were together watching the combine after a couple of drinks, I make him Italian. I go, Adebowale, what do you want?
I mean, it's like, I watch during the season for Mojo stuff. Like, I'm like, I have like 8 or 9 games on at a time. I'll watch and rewatch the same players and hear their name and say the name 17 times and then still not be able to say it. So yeah, thank you for that. But yeah, he's the best.
I'm probably wrong anyway, but I did my best.
Yeah, the Jets don't necessarily need edge rusher, but you can never have enough pass rushers, honestly. And so let's just go with the best player off the board. And then the next best player off the board for the Jets, because that's their strategy, they love to do it, is Trenton Simpson out of Clemson. The third Clemson player that I've selected in this draft, but that's because their defense and their defensive recruiting has been stacked for years and years. And Simpson, we kind of knew he was a first-round pick even coming out of high school. And he's the perfect modern day linebacker. He's, you know, like that 6'3" and change plus 230 pounds with just incredible speed and versatility. And that's exactly what you need in a modern linebacker, off ball linebacker. And there's not very many good ones in this class. So I'm going to go with Trenton Simpson. And that's my 4-pick segment. You can make that its own podcast. You're welcome.
Oh, it was fantastic. I love it. You could go all day. You just did my job. All right, let's go to the next pick here. It's the Atlanta Falcons and Thor back on the clock at 44.
Yeah, quick aside, people don't understand what a professional Joey P is. We were at the Dallas Mavericks game in Dallas, and Joey P did the Adebowale name, I swear, like 100 times. I was sitting next to him. Adebowale went nuts at the combine that day, and Joey P knew he was going to have to say Adebowale's name like 100 times, or probably 1,000 times during the pre-draft process. So he said his name literally 1,000 times when I was sitting next to him. He practiced it over and over again. I promise you people, I was right next to him. Professional, a man of the people,
if nothing else. Yeah.
Okay. So at the number 44 pick, the Atlanta Falcons are up. As everybody knows, at the number 8 pick, we gave them Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter had fallen down to them. Atlanta, again, as everybody knows, had a terrible defense last year, particularly a terrible pass defense. We give them Jalen Carter before, guy that fall down to them. Now at this pick, Cam Smith has fallen down to them, the cornerback from South Carolina. So now we're going to give them Cam Smith here. We address the cornerback need now. If you come out of the first two rounds with Jalen Carter and Cam Smith, you go from having one of the worst pass rushes and one of the worst pass defenses overall in the NFL to major upgrades in both of those areas. I think that would be a huge coup for the Atlanta Falcons in those two areas. With the next pick, we're going to move on to 45 here because I have that one as well. Green Bay Packers, earlier on there with the 15th pick, we had given them Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame. Another big need for the Packers is the edge rusher. We're going to give them Will McDonald, the edge rusher from Iowa State. A little bit undersized, but fabulously athletic, has the tremendous get off. And he proved the concept of that at the combine. Didn't do all the tests, but he did do the jumps. And it's fabulous. I mean, the vertical and the broad. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it was 90 plus percentile on both of those things. Was a puzzle and a riddle for all the Big 12 tackles over the years. They could not stop that kid. So we're going to send Will McDonald to Green Bay.
All right. So after Green Bay selects New England Patriots, back on the clock, Erickson, that's you.
All right. I'm a sucker for defensive backs with Jam in their name, and the Patriots love overdrafting defensive backs in the second round. So what better fit than Jammie Robinson from Florida State? I think that he can kind of fill in that free safety role that's been obviously vacated by Devin McCourty, who's now retired, and he fits in well with Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar as the other two safeties on the roster.
All right. Coming up next here after the Patriots is the Washington Commanders. That's Thor. Back to you at 47.
Yeah, so we're going to send Clark Phillips from Utah, the cornerback, to Washington. Clark Phillips he's an interesting case, and it looks like now he's going to fall into the second round, which I might not have assumed earlier on, but he didn't test very well, and he's a smaller kid. He had a 54 percentile RAS, but he's one of the stickiest corners in this class. You would put him right up at the top of that list. He put Jordan Addison during the Utah-USC game in witness protection. Jordan Addison never wants to see Clark Phillips again. Turn on the tape. Clark Phillips gets in your back pocket and you can't get rid of that kid. Even when you're in the tunnel, even when you go on the bus, you can't get rid of Clark Phillips. But he didn't test as well. And again, he's a little bit smaller, so he is going to fall down the board. But at some point in round two, some team is going to be, you're going to have defensive back coach pounding on the table and be like, I need this kid. Because the receivers cannot get rid of this kid. So at this point in the draft, I think Washington is going to be like, we need that slot corner. Give us Clark Phillips. That kid is too feisty at this point. We need Clark Phillips.
All right. So Clark Phillips is the selection there. Coming up next, Detroit 48. That means you, Travis May.
Yeah, that was like my favorite pick of Thor's draft. He killed it throughout the draft process. He looked the best out of all of them at the combine. So really pumped for Clark Phillips. I'm going to go with Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State for the Lions here. He's just an odd read. He's got prototypical size. He's got the 4.6 speed that we love to see out of the tight end position, but he's just got such a tiny sample size of production in college. Like, his best season was like 2 years ago, where he caught just over 20 balls and like 300 total yards. He was on a really fast pace for two games before he got hurt this past year. And that's it. Like, that's all we had to work with. So he's kind of a major projection, but right here, he's probably in line to be the next tight end off the board for the Lions. So that's the 48th pick off or 47th pick off the board.
Okay. Going next here, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Andrew Erickson, you're on the clock.
Going with Drew Sanders from Arkansas, linebacker. So tackles taken care of, cornerbacks taken care of. Let's get Pittsburgh another linebacker, especially one that can offer juice as a pass rusher. Sanders, fourth in pressures among linebackers in the FBS last season. So I think he adds another element of pass rush to that TJ Watt-led defense.
Okay, very easy spot there. Tampa, Erickson, back on the clock for you.
Going with another safety, which you guys will have you noticed I'm drafting all the safeties here today. Antonio Johnson from Texas A&M. The Buccaneers went tackle in round one, but they need safety. Like, Edmers is gone. Logan Ryan, Keanu Neal, all gone. Sean Murphy Bunting, gone. Like, they need someone specifically to cover in the slot. And Antonio Johnson, that's kind of what he did at Texas A&M as a slot cornerback. He's a sure tackler. Top 15 PFF graded run defender for the past 2 years. I think he's a perfect fit for that defense.
Travis May, the Miami Dolphins finally make a pick at 51. Who do they take?
Oh man, the Miami Dolphins. They take Sam Laporta because he's got some insane receiving ability. Coming out of Iowa, tight end university, pretty much. He's not going to block a whole lot for you, but he's got back-to-back seasons over 600 receiving yards for Iowa. I don't know if you don't follow college football, you don't understand how bad Iowa's offense is. They barely averaged 17 points a game. Like, the program instated like a bare minimum number of points that they need this year to not fire their offensive coordinator. Cause like, hey, you're a joke. So I know you're like the coach's
son.
Hey,
Travis, I got good news for Iowa though. Cause yeah, Marco Linus has already committed from New Jersey here, who came and did a quarterback clinic with my daughter, her flag football squad. And I watched this kid throw right in front of me. And let me tell you, that kid can sling it. So maybe, just maybe, they get something here.
Maybe Iowa will not ruin something. But Sam Laporta is the pick going to Miami.
All right. So both Porta goes to Miami there. And a nice, great pedigree Iowa tight ends in the league in the past. Tommy, if you heard this one before, the Seattle Seahawks are on the clock at 52. Thor, you're up next.
Man, I love all this Iowa talk. Let's keep it rolling here. Let's just catch everyone up on all the Seattle picks so far. So we took Tyree Wilson at number four, and then we took at number 20, we took Jackson Smith and Jigba. So we check wide receiver off the list. And then at number 37, we took John Michael Schmidt. So we got our interior pivot. Now at this pick at number 52, we still need a linebacker. So let's stay in Iowa City and let's give Jack Campbell to Seattle. Jack Campbell, a guy who on the field is the best linebacker in this class. I don't think that's controversial whatsoever. Last year, his overall PFF grade was 91.7. I think that was second best in the class. But if you just go across the board, run grade 95.6, coverage grade was 92.9. He's so clever in zone coverage. The only question about him coming into the process was his athleticism. he just tested as, I think, the second best overall athleticism ever for a linebacker. And he did all the tests, 9.98 RAS score. The kid's just an absolute freak. And again, did all the tests. So we're going to send Jack Campbell to Seattle and plug one of those off-ball linebacker holes.
Travis, who are we sending to the Bears at 53?
Going to send the clone of his brother, and that is BJ Ojulari. I think he's related to that Aziz guy. Yes. And so, you know, maybe not the perfect scheme fit for Chicago, but they desperately need pressures. Like that. Like their leading sack artist, I believe, was a defensive back last year, if I remember correctly. So they're having major problems. Like nobody getting close to double-digit sacks last year. They need somebody who can generate some pressure. So that's BJ Ojulari out of LSU, edge defender.
Okay, Ojulari at 53, 54. The Chargers are up next. Erickson, they're on the clock.
Siaki Ika from the defensive tackle for the Chargers here from Baylor. Look, the Chargers don't need to be the best defense against the run, but like, can we not be the stone cold worst? Like, let's put this 335 pound nose tackle in the middle and let's pray we're the 25th worst defense against the run, not 32nd.
There you go. Moving up in the world, moving up to 55, Detroit Lions, back to Travis May.
Hendon Hooker, quarterback out of Tennessee, goes to the Lions. And I know that Jared Goff was actually pretty good last year, but he's just kind of always been that. I feel sorry for him. It's like Alex Smith, you know, it's like, he's just always good enough.
Always looking for the next
one. But the team is always looking for the guy to replace him. And that's who he is. And he's very removable from the team after this year, contract wise. And so Hendon Hooker, I know he's old. I know he's coming off the injury, but he had 3 seasons above the 80th percentile in pass efficiency, 2 above the 95th percentile pass efficiency. He's got solid mobility when he's healthy. And actually, he's been really good since 2019 at Virginia Tech. I mean, like he's an NFL player. He's an NFL starter eventually and would be ranked much higher had he not gotten injured late last fall.
At 56, the Jacksonville Jags, back to Travis May again.
Back to me, and I'm going to go with DeJuan Jones. I would have loved to see him do more at the Senior Bowl. He only lined up like one day and did anything. He just like showed up, was like, hey guys, I'm 375 pounds. I'm going to throw some people around. And then he didn't have to do anything else because he's just an absolute monster. I mean, he can immediately show up and be like a swing tackle at worst or immediately the right tackle starter there for the Jags. So really love DeJuan Jones.
All right, so let's go next to the Giants at 57. Erickson, you're on the clock.
Steve Avila, TCU, center, interior, offensive lineman. The Giants have a need in the interior. John Feliciano and Nick Gates are both gone from the offense, so they need to plug the interior with some depth. Avila can play guard and center, so I think it's a good depth piece here in round 2.
Okay, how about them Cowboys, though, are at 58? What do you have?
Yeah, we gave them Bijan Robinson earlier in the draft. The Cowboys did just trade for Brandon Cooks, but I don't think they're done adding to the wide receiver room. Let's give them from Oklahoma Marvin Mims and flesh out that receiver room a little bit more.
At 59, the Buffalo Bills, Travis May, who do they select?
I'm going to get fun again here. I'm going to give them Zach Charbonnet. I know they've got some other backs there, but he features well to go with James Cook. James Cook is the undersized, you know, efficient kind of back. Kind of like, well, you know, what you were saying earlier with the Cowboys having Pollard and now Bijan Robinson, apparently. Cook can be the Pollard, and Zach Charbonnet can be that just absolute monster kind of guy who can take a larger workload there for them. So I love them adding more help in the run game yet again, following the theme from the previous round when they added Osiris Torrance.
All right, Cincinnati up at 60. Thor, that's you.
Yeah, we're going to give them Julius Brents here. Giving them the tight end earlier. Cincinnati badly needs secondary help. This one makes a lot of sense. Julius, we talked about the pterodactyl thing before. Julius Brents, I think, has 82-inch wingspan. This would be a really good fit for them on the outside there.
Back to the Chicago Bears at 60. This is one of the picks from Carolina. Travis May, what do they do with it?
I have to take Devin Achane here because dude is like an Olympic level sprinter. He's got an amazing contact balance. He's got all the skill sets of like a feature back, but he's just in a smaller frame. It just really reminds me of an Austin Eckler coming out. But Eckler, of course, came via an odd route going through like a Western Colorado, not even having a pro day. And just, and he ended up adding weight though when he got to the pros. And so if Achane can add a little bit of weight, get up to about 200 pounds playing weight, he's not going to lose a whole lot of that near Olympic speed. And so he's just like one of my favorite players in the class and makes a lot of sense to go with Chicago here. I know they just like signed Travis Homer, but come on, Come on. A lot.
That's like the Ronald Jones signing there.
Yeah.
The last thing we talked about. But that's an amazing comp potentially there. That's something to get excited about if he reaches that level. Philadelphia at 62. Erickson, you're on the clock.
Going with Jordan Battle, safety from Alabama. The Eagles lost Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They lost Marcus Epps. So they just have a lot of snaps to fill, especially at free safety. And Battle was a four-year starter under Nick Saban at Alabama. So over 1,500 snaps as a free safety. I think he's a plug-and-play option for that defense.
All right. And finally, last but not least here, the Kansas City Chiefs closing things out here. Travis May.
To wrap things up here, the Chiefs are really not great at identifying true wide receiver talent. They trade for Kadarius Toney, who, I mean, he's fun, but he's just a gadget guy. Sky mm-hmm. Moore, I kind of like him, but he's not really like your ideal wide receiver one. MVS is great for, you know, a few deep balls a game, dropping three of them or something. It's just they've really struggled to find a wide receiver that they can trust. Apparently Juju was not that guy either. His TikTok videos were not good enough. And Kayshon Boutte has some off-field baggage that is dragging him down that I'm not even going to get into. It's potentially very messy, and you don't want to even really talk about it, but he was really incredible. He was a first-round projection for a very long time, just wasn't healthy, had back-to-back ankle surgeries, and struggled this last year because of it. But I think his potential's still there, so worth taking a swing here for the Chiefs to finally figure out, you know, hey, maybe we should get an actual wide receiver on the team.
That would help. The Patriots should get one too, but apparently they don't really care. Let's go through the second round here, starting at 32. The Pittsburgh Steelers first of Anton Harrison, Oklahoma offensive tackle. Then the Houston Texans selected Keon White from Georgia Tech, the outside linebacker. Kelee Ringo, the Georgia corner to Arizona. Then the Indianapolis Colts select Emmanuel Forbes, Mississippi State cornerback. Cody Mock, North Dakota State offensive tackle to the Rams at 36 and at 37. Thor selected John Michael Schmitz, Minnesota center, in quotes, as we learned earlier. 38, Las Vegas Raiders. Darnell Washington, the tight end from Georgia. Then Isaiah Foskey, the Notre Dame defensive end to the Carolina Panthers at 39. At 40, the New Orleans Saints, Josh Downs from Carolina. The Tennessee Titans next, Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver from Tennessee. The Jets at 42, selecting Adamiwa Adebowale, Northwestern edge rusher. Adetemiwa, excuse me. I even screwed it up there. See, I still got to keep going. Next year, the Jets at 43 again. Trenton Simpson, Clemson inside linebacker. Then we have at 44, the Atlanta Falcons selecting Cam Smith, South Carolina cornerback. Will McDonald, the Iowa State defensive end to the Packers at 45. To the New England Patriots at 46, Jamie Robinson, Florida State safety. Clark Phillips, the third Utah corner. At 47 to Washington. At 48, Detroit selects Luke Musgrave, Oregon tight end. Drew Sanders, Arkansas inside linebacker to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 49. At 50, Tampa Bay Bucks select Antonio Johnson, Texas A&M safety. Sam Laporta, Iowa tight end, goes next to Miami at 51. At 52, the Seattle Seahawks, Jack Campbell, Iowa inside linebacker. BJ Ojulari joins his brother in the NFL from LSU, outside linebacker now to the Bears. Then the Chargers at 54, Siaki Ika, Baylor defensive tackle. Then Hendon Hooker, quarterback from Tennessee, to the Lions at 55. At 56, Jacksonville Jaguars goes with DeJuan Johnson, Ohio State offensive tackle. Steve Avila, TCU center, to the Giants at 57. To the Dallas Cowboys at 58, Marvin Mims, Oklahoma wide receiver. Zach Charbonnet, UCLA running back, to the Buffalo Bills at 59. Cincinnati at 60 selects Julius Brents, Kansas State cornerback. Texas A&M running back Devin Achane to the Bears at 61. At 62, the Eagles selecting Jordan Battle, Alabama safety. Then Kayshon Boutte, LSU wide receiver, rounds us out at 63. Travis, I'm so happy you finally got to make some fun picks, because it's always fun having you on the show.
I did.
Please follow him on the Twitter machine at @FF_TravisM. He does fantastic work. One of the best guys out there covering college. Check out his show, College to Canton. The podcast is fantastic. You always work at Mojo. Travis, again, just great to have you on here. I wish we talked more frequently. I know the draft happens once a year, but we're very happy to have you on here. Thor, Erickson, you guys are pretty good too. We'll keep you around also. Hopefully you all enjoyed the show. Don't forget, everybody, to make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Click that subscribe button. Click that little button for the notifications till it goes ding, and make a comment below, because you might win a free upgrade to Fantasy Pros Premium. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, and that's AirMed Care Network. Make financial peace of mind part of your game plan. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Thor, Andrew, and Travis May, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.